This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be part of this fine production anytime. Talk or text 855-752-4842. Super jazzed to reintroduce our friend James Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting here on Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Find that here. You can find it on the Civic Media app as well. Jim, welcome back, man.
Dom, always a pleasure to be with you, especially this Friday afternoon, just a few days before something is going on in the United States of America.
Something's going on. Something's happening. there's a ton going on. We've got some legal stuff to get to and the headlines, of course. Jim, but just wanted to get your general feeling, man. How you holding up, man? How you feeling these days?
I am okay. There is so much going on, Dom, that it's frankly keeping us all intellectually and psychologically not burdened but occupied. I just came from teaching a class at UWM, and one of the students walked out and looked at me and said, "Mr. Santel, that's a lot." And I said, "Yes, exactly. It is a lot." And so I sort of feel like that. So many moving parts, too. Yeah. I know you and I will chat, as will some of your listeners, about some of the likely litigation underway right now, probably coming from whatever happens on Tuesday and beyond. But it is difficult to recall in my lifetime an election where there have been so many moving parts. And that's my reaction right now in advance of the voting on Tuesday.
So many. Have you voted already? Or are you waiting on the day?
I believe it or not, I am an assistant election chief.
Ooh.
How exciting is that? In Brookfield, Wisconsin. And so I normally vote during the day. I'm a little bit concerned this time because lines might be long. So yeah. Normally I do it right when I'm there, but I will vote.
But come on, man. You get there first in line. If
exactly.
You're working there, don't you get some perks for volunteering?
I should exercise some authority and say, hey, get me in line. But I stand in line. And typically in the past, especially this past year, we've had obviously a number of elections. It has not been a problem. But looking forward to voting, as should everyone. Most important thing I know, Dom, you always advocate for, we all do, which is vote. And that is important thing. We get the government that we vote for. Whatever that may be, we get the government we're voting for. And so everybody should go out and do that. Yeah, as we always say, you can register as well on the day, assuming, again, you've got proof of your residency and then identity when you go to vote.
We get the government we vote for, whether we deserve it or not.
Absolutely. Jim. Absolutely.
Early voting, record breaking here in the state of Wisconsin, around the country as well. Any thoughts on that? Anything you can pull from that knowledge?
Right. I mean, there used to be a time, of course, when we used to think that that's indicating that the Democrats are probably getting a lot of people out there. And that may well be the case. Yeah. We don't know. About a week from now, we'll all be doing the analysis and saying, see, this is what I told you would happen.
Right.
And so we don't know. But plainly, with some of the change on the Republican side advocating, including some from Donald Trump himself, right, indicating that maybe some balloting early on is not an entirely bad thing.
I guess it depends on the day, Jim.
Exactly.
It's a little schizophrenic, the messaging coming out of the GOP. But they have been generally advising and encouraging their supporters, as the Dems have traditionally done as well, to get out and vote early. And folks are heeding those calls. Gender gap, Jim. We talked about this yesterday or the other day with Charles Franklin briefly. There's a big gender gap,
yes.
And obviously with Roe v. Wade being overturned, the Dobbs decision. Do you think that has something to do with it?
I do. And again, because this is also an issue with not only with women, with men as well, as we hasten to add, right? And it is understandable, right? Every so often, I'm rightly accused of going a little bit down the rabbit hole and being a little bit too nerdy. And what are you talking about again, Jim? I was talking earlier today about the unitary executive theory. We'll talk about that later, Dom.
But, they got a word for that, Jim. It's called the weave.
Right. It's
called the weed.
Let's just bring it back.
No, it justice.
Is.
No.
It is. But the reality is just that. There is a gender gap in principle part because of the Dobbs decision. And what has happened since then, which is, again, the majority of states out there, whether it's referendums or lawsuits, reaction to it has been almost universally to say, Supreme Court, what are you doing here, right? We do have a privacy right in America, and it should extend to reproductive services. I think that that will be one of the stories. This is not original with me, of course. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be one of the stories that people can understand that. It affects their lives, both women and men. And it's a reason for voting, especially when you've got one of the candidates saying, I did that. Mm-hmm. Now, he's walked back from that as well. But it's hard to completely deny things that are on tape.
Exactly. Right? He said it many times. Right. And then you walk it back. Well, you said it then. Did you mean it then? Are you lying now? I mean, all those things. And we're going to have just a few more days until this decision is made. Folks, make sure you get out and vote. We have James Santel, former U.S. attorney, in studio with us today. 855-752-4842. The news of the day, Jim, the threat.
Absolutely.
Trump on with Tucker Carlson, who apparently was attacked by a demon in his sleep. Mm. I'm not even making that up. This is reporting a demon, like a literal like demon.
Demon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So consider the source. The demon victim, had Trump on, and we have the cut, the sound from that. Just thank you for it. Let's hear this terrible, awful response from Donald Trump.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual.
Oh, there
very
you go.
Dumb.
Yeah.
She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
When the guns are trained on her face. He didn't back off of this position, Jim. He was in Dearborn, Michigan today, essentially saying the same thing. And he wasn't as gross about
pointed,
it.
Yeah,
I mean, I hate to give him any credit whatsoever. There is an argument to be made about those who make the decisions and haven't served. You know, that's why I think people like to have folks that have served this country in the military be representative. They know, you know, they understand.
Right.
You know, Private Bone Spurs doesn't understand, and he's just using this as a way to attack. And might I remind you, Jim, and everybody else, Liz Cheney voted for Donald Trump.
Absolutely. And when she was in Congress, voted, 90% in support of his policies, right? So this is coming from, and again, directed at a woman who has substantively been supportive of him, right? Which is the other,
so
maybe
the,
secondary.
Could the
right?
short headline be, Donald Trump threatens to shoot supporter in the face? Because right. if you're voting for Donald Trump, if you're in there, it's
absolutely.
Only a matter of time until you're the ex-coffee boy or someone has 9 guns trained on you. And the nine gun, I mean, very symbolic, I guess. The vision I see is a firing squad.
Right, absolutely. Two things about this immediately come to me, which is, number one, I know that we're investigating this. I regard that as a crime. When you are threatening, admittedly, she is no longer an elected government representative. If she were still in Congress, no doubt about it, I could almost cite the statute for you that makes it a crime, a federal crime, to threaten an officer in the United States government. She is not. It is still a threat, and it is still criminal behavior. And that kind of thing cannot be tolerated. Glad to see that there are some law enforcement folks who are out there who are looking at that seriously. That should be pursued. And the second portion of this, which is derives from that directly, what a message you are sending, that it is okay not only to say that, but also to reaffirm that, and arguably to some people out there to mean that, right? We know that everyone says, believe what he says and believe that he will, in fact, act on those things. Other people, when they hear that, witness January 6th, when they hear him call and call to arms, if you will, quite literally, they act on it. And that's the other threat.
Yeah.
Once again, violence in America, we've seen that way too much. And how dare you? How dare you, whether you're running for the presidency or not, how dare you once again pollute the atmosphere and the conduct of Americans, which should otherwise be supportive, even if we disagree with each other. And frankly, all the more if we disagree with each other, we do not engage in violence. How dare you, Mr. Trump? You are not qualified to serve as the president of the United States of America.
Vice President Harris had a response to this. If we would please, Jess, let's play cut number two. I believe this was from Madison, Wisconsin today.
Anyone who wants to be president of the United States who uses that kind of violent rhetoric is clearly disqualified and unqualified to be president.
Clearly. We got a couple more from the vice president. Let's go down the list, please, Jess.
His enemies list has grown longer. His rhetoric has grown more extreme, and he is even less focused than before on the needs and the concerns and the challenges facing the American people.
You know, he's very focused on staying out of the big house and getting into the White House, as I heard it described today. Let's do the next one, cut number three from Harris in Madison today.
We see this kind of spirit coming from Donald Trump that is so laden with the desire for revenge and retribution. And Liz Cheney is a tough person. She is an incredible American, and I have an incredible amount of respect for her.
Not so much for the former president. NBC News reported that the Arizona Attorney General, Chris Mays, said Friday that her office is investigating whether Trump's violent remarks about Cheney broke the law. A quote from Mays, a Democrat, "I have already asked my criminal division chief to start looking at that statement, analyzing it for whether it qualifies as a death threat under Arizona's laws. I'm not prepared now to say whether it was or it wasn't, but it is not helpful as we prepare for our election and as we try to make sure that we keep the peace at our polling places and in our state," Mays told NBC. A spokesperson for the Attorney General's office, Richie Taylor, confirmed to NBC News that the office is looking into whether Trump's remark violated the law. And they did reach out to the Trump campaign, but have not yet.
Not a comment back.
No.
And she's got it just right. Of course, you look at a statute. I'm not familiar with the Arizona statutes, but you look at the statute and look at the language there. You look at some of the interpretations of it. And the second thing you look at, much wedded to that first, is what is the intent?
Yeah.
Would a jury look at that kind of a statement and understand anything other than that he intended violence, right?
What about the previous threats? He talked about Mattis, I think, you know, right, being executed. This isn't the first time. What a grand jury, or when you look into this, do you take into account those other threats?
I sure you do. Again, regrettably, we in the public domain, we become numb to it, right? That's the real concern. Under any other circumstance, this would be outrageous for days and the headlines screaming this. But you do. You do look at prior acts. You look at prior behaviors. And while that may tend to regularize it for that particular defendant, it doesn't get you out from under that intent purpose. You want people dead, and that's the point. And you're willing to engage in whatever kind of violence or inciting whatever kind of violence you think would be appropriate to accomplish that end. Once again, criminal conduct, and I applaud law enforcement for going after this.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That is James Santel. The lines are open. We'll go there next, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It is a text line. We got some texters, some early innovators. A question from Ham from Appleton. Trump's literally broken rules up and down this race and has avoided justice. Is it cowardly to want to move if Trump wins? I don't think I could handle it. Oh, man. You know, I hear those kinds of things and I understand. No, hell no. You can't move, man. No. This is our country, baby.
Right.
We want, if democracy needs you, you don't walk away. You don't go somewhere. We stay here. And like I said, I'm going to get louder and meaner if Trump wins, because apparently that's what it takes. I Jim, what do you think, man? I get the sentiment, and there's a lot of angst in the air these days. And I think, you know, and if there's some the reporting out there, we look at the polls, I think Harris is going to win. But you know, we got to go through. We won't know until Tuesday,
it's
Wednesday,
part of our
Thursday.
Process, right? We've got to go through that. Absolutely.
But what about the thought of people like, oh, this I'm moving if this happens.
Right. And it's an expression, again, of frustration, maybe some outrage as well. It is not what we contemplated, right? When you put this country together, what, 240 years or so, it's a participatory enterprise. It's a republic, which means it calls upon everybody. And even if the result is other than what you want on Tuesday, you are supposed to stay here. And you're supposed to be a part of the loyal opposition,
yes,
if you will, right?
Exactly.
That phrase. And absent that, the prospect for a future where maybe you are in power one day dissipate, right? So you've got to stick around. You've got to be a voice, even if sometimes it's a lone voice that's out there. And you've got to be articulating those things that are important to you, but also important to fundamental reason. We talk a lot about critical thinking, all those kinds of things that regrettably sometimes are not a part of our national discourse. Got to be out there keeping us in line for that day when, in fact, it will be front and center once again.
Well, and I think it's also, Jim, important to put everything in context. And, you know, there's lots of crazy things that could happen. I mean, that's always the case, right?
Right.
But I think if we look back over the history, as you mentioned, you know, it's gotten a lot more representative, you know, in the last 100 years or so than it was prior
Absolutely.
To that. You know what I'm saying? So we, as a country, have gone through so much. And we're so much further ahead than we were 100 years ago. And certainly, you know, it's like two steps forward, one step back, you know, kind of the drunk walking down the hallway, mm-hmm. hitting side to side. But as long as we keep moving forward, you know, I think that's the point. We've overcome a lot worse in this country, I think, so far. Now, could it be terrible? Certainly. Right. Could it also be that Trump gets his ass handed to him and ends up being sentenced in November, and mm-hmm. now he has to go to court on all these other things, and we actually have a Democratic president? Yeah, that could also happen. I would think that's more likely to happen. So I remain encouraged, folks. I hope you do as well. But all
Absolutely.
You got to do is make sure you get out and vote. Get a few people, get them out to vote. Are we waiting for Harris to come on in Janesville? Let's see what else we got here. I know, yes, Harris will be in Milwaukee tonight. I think she's bouncing around the state mm-hmm. a little
yes.
bit as well.
Yeah.
Another texter, Kimber from Muscadet. When they tell you who they are, believe them.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. You know, we've got these reports out there, again, Heritage Foundation, another group out there, that is in a very professional way. They're printed documents. They're outlines of exactly what the plan is here. This is not just pontificating on, with due respect, on a radio program on a Friday afternoon about what should happen. This is published material, and it is identifying not only policies, but also the ways in which government will work. One of those that we have talked about, you and I, Dom, and other settings, of course, is destroying the civil service, basically yeah. undermining the notion that we've got people in these agencies who know what they do, know what they're talking about. Let's get rid of that, and let's open up the possibility for a president to fire the people who are not loyal to him. Boy, if that isn't a scary proposition, that's what you get. That's what you get from these people who are serious about doing this. Trump executed something called Schedule F in the last days of his prior administration. It did that, and Joe Biden rescinded it promptly, so we didn't have any experience under this. But that's the kind of, again, regrettably—
Wait, so what did Schedule F do at the tail end of the Trump administration?
Sure. So he signed off, and it wasn't really executed, but basically begin to draw back on what's called the civil service in America, which basically provides protection for people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of federal workers who go to work every day, who are not asked for their loyalty tests. They're there because they're competent, they're effective, they know what they're doing, and they cannot be fired at will. That's the other possibility out there in an employment setting. Of course, I wake up in the morning and say, you know what, Dom, I just don't like what you said yesterday. I don't like who you are. I'm going to fire you because I can. That's an at-will employee.
Right.
This would change our entire governmental system from this civil service protection where we, again, embrace people of all parties to do nonpartisan work, to do
right.
things based upon facts and fixed
the functioning of government.
Absolutely.
And
right?
the administration of government. And there's lots of institutional knowledge there.
There's a huge amount.
And if you start doing that and you start putting in, you know, loyalists,
right?
Well, now the grift gets bigger, the corruption gets more, the efficiency goes down,
the expertise
government
is lost.
Gets more expensive.
Absolutely. And again, those very people who would say, you know what, we've got to get rid of this, it's called the deep, dark administrative state, right? Well, they forget that what you just described, Don, those are the people who, with whom you engage in what? The Social Security Administration, right. Health and Human Services, HUD, SBA, name your agency, whether it's local, county, certainly federal system. We have the Internal Revenue Service, right? Medicare, Medicaid, all those kinds of things. All of those are dependent upon people. Do they always get it right? No.
No, of course people not. Are people.
People, right? And that's why you can dispute them. And yes, that's why you can take them to court and have a judge decide whether or not they're right or wrong. But that system where we have non-political, apartisan people, at least in their jobs, making those decisions based upon what they think the merits of the cases are, that's how our government works. You get rid of that. You get rid of that, those people who want to advocate for, again, this dark, terrible system where everything's opaque. You get rid of that, and your very capacity to operate day to day and get the benefits and programs and things that the government provides, that's gone. And that applies across the board, Republicans, Democrats, everybody.
Right. The folks that will be impacted on it are generally going to be the folks that maybe you support it, but right. If you're on one of these issues, or if you're using the SBA or you know the farm bill is getting administered, you know what right. I'm saying? There's, across the board, everybody suffers, not just the Democrats or the quote-unquote deep state. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review Saturdays. In the mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. We got some callers. We're going to come back and get to you. Want to give you proper time, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. James Santel in studio with me, Jess P.S. on the board, and you folks on the lines and on the text lines. Let's get to a couple of those quickly. Talking about what if Trump wins was a topic of conversation. A texter says, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no. And it ain't over now. Thank you from the 920. Who else we got here? Republicans from Uncle Tony. Uncle Tony says Republicans are just trying to bring back the patronage system, mm-hmm. which was reformed back in the late 1800s because it is so corrupt.
Right, right. History sort of repeats itself, right? And the principles are sort of, they're sort of polished up and made to look a little bit better. They give them fancy names, and I won't repeat it once again. It's a unitary executive theory, but there it is. It's the same principle. It's the concept of let's get our people in. And it's also another part, Dom, the other part of this, I think, is it's also about blowing things up, not physically, not mm-hmm. literally in the explosion sense of the word.
Breaking it.
Let's break it. Let's break the system. Let's bring it down. Let's stop it from happening. We see that in the Congress from time to time. We know those folks. Their only animation can be let's break it down. Let's stop all this from happening. Let's make the mechanisms so mucked up that they don't work. That's a part of this, too. And it's really an incredibly cynical view about this nation. It is the most unpatriotic thing you can imagine, right? That you want to stop the basic trappings of government from going ahead. You want people to be in positions to do bad things to other people if we want to do that? That's not America, right? But it is about destroying those fundamental principles and the structures. The structures, again, since the 1800s have been put in place to prevent that kind of patronage. Now we want to go back to that. That, not a good thing.
855-752-4842. Jim from Fond du Lac asks you, Mr. Santel, do you think Biden will at all hesitate to deploy the National Guard wherever necessary to quickly put down January 6th type lawlessness? Big difference this time. Biden is president, not Trump.
Right. So know with absolute certainty that ever since January 6th, every law enforcement community around the country has looked at that and said, okay, what if we are the subject of this kind of a riot, that sort of thing. So number one, you've got an increased focus by law enforcement to be prepared responsively. Secondarily, are there all sorts of contingency meetings and conferences and conference calls going on right now in Washington, not only on Election Day, but again, when the Electoral College meets in December, and certainly on January 6th, once again, all sorts of contingency plans. We hope that we don't need to do that.
Right.
Prepared to do it, certainly. The president has an obligation to keep us safe and secure. There's another
What about the last president?
Well, okay.
I don't know that we were so safe and secure on January 6th, man. Right.
A president who takes the oath of office seriously, takes the take care clause of the Constitution to take care that the laws of the country are faithfully executed. There's somebody who's serious about that. And yes, indeed, there have been Republicans and Democrats both who've taken that seriously. We have had a recent president who has not. But once you do take that seriously, you recognize, as Kamala has said, president for all the people, we got to make certain that we are all safe and secure. And I think that's what Joe Biden is. I have no doubt. Lots and lots of planning right now, hoping they never have to execute on any of those plans. Mm-hmm. But are they prepared to do it? You bet they are.
And the Harris campaign is certainly prepared. I mean, Trump will declare victory absolutely, no matter right, what prior right. to. I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't done it already. Maybe that's coming like Monday.
Right.
He'll
right.
do that. 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton, you are up. Happy Friday, Cindy. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm just wondering if, you know, the criminal felon gets elected and eliminates all these civil servant positions. It'd probably be several thousand of them, I'm assuming. Who's going to take the credit for eliminating all those jobs and the job market falling and, you know, unemployment claims going up? Is he going to take that credit, or is he going to blame that on the Biden administration?
Right. We rewrite history once again. And again, you make a very good point about this, which is, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. This is not, he's talked about doing something, I think, 1 second after 12 noon on January 20th. And I think that has to do with immigration and largest deportation underway at that moment. Well, that's impossible to happen. But beyond that, it's scary. But beyond all of the threats, again, about what he's planning to do here, the notion that all these things will happen overnight, not realistic. They will happen bit by bit. And I hate to use the frog boiling.
And with some resistance, I
absolutely,
would imagine.
Absolutely. You're going to get people inside government saying you cannot do these things. And outside government as well. And there should be that, right? Mm-hmm. That's what, again, America is all about. But you can do these things overnight. You're not going to fire all the civil servants on January 21. You can't do that. But can you bit by bit over a four-year period take the senior leadership of various agencies in various cities around the country, not just in Washington, D.C., replace them with people, even for your term, that you feel are going to support whatever you want to do? Can you do that? Sure you can. And that's what the plan is.
And thank you for the call, Cindy. I'm not sure that, you know, the net effect would be, well, someone would transfer into that job because, you know, Trump's going to put their loyalists there. So one job lost, one job filled is a net zero, right?
Right.
So it's not like it's, and of course, who's going to work at the unemployment office? Who's going to work at Social Security? I mean, if this goes down, I mean, the functioning of the administration of government would end.
Right.
And
that
can't possibly happen.
Exactly,
I mean, it is literally an impossibility.
I'm a big fan, as you know, Dom, from our previous conversations, of government service. It you don't have to do it. Everybody should do a little bit of it at some point, directly or indirectly. Civil service is a good thing. But the other point of this, of course, is that when you are there, you also then have this obligation to, again, take your oath of office, do it seriously, do the very best job you can. It is quite literally a commitment you make to the people of this country in support of not just today, but generations down the road. I know that that sounds very, very sort of out there and like it should be on a pillow somewhere.
It's very, very nice and community service minded.
Exactly.
You're such a good guy.
Right. But they're really, and again, it just underscores this notion. There are huge numbers of people out there who get it, who understand how government works. Perfect, as I said before? Absolutely not. Subject to criticism, subject to litigation, you bet. You undermine that, you bring that down in bits and pieces over time, and one day you do wake up. It is the frog boiling experience, mm-hmm. and you find that you're not doing the basic things that government should do.
855-752-4842. Let's see. Annie from Watertown. Come on, you guys. Day-old news. I go around promoting civic radio, and this is exactly the thing I dread. Annie, what are you talking about, man? Trump said put the rifles in Cheney's face last night, right? That was last night. That's still kind of, it's not day old news, Annie. I mean, it's new to me today for this show. In fact, it's so out there. I'm going to play it one more time. And there's a little bit reported on it from NBC News. Jess, if you would please, let's hear the president threaten Ms. Cheney.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
Yep. In a post on his Truthy Social account Friday afternoon, Trump said that Cheney, quote, wouldn't have the guts to fight herself. It's easy for her to talk, sitting far from where the death scenes take place. But put a gun in her hand, let her go fight, and she'll say, no thanks. Now, in remarks to reporters later Friday, again, I believe this was in Dearborn, Michigan today, Trump defended his comments on Cheney, calling her a war hawk again and saying that, quote, she kills people.
Mm. Mm. Again, just stunning. Again, the language itself, barrels at her face, right?
I mean, it's terrible.
It is just beyond belief that we've got a candidate who's talking that way and that the campaign is trying to put that in a different perspective.
But
it's
so predictable, man. Yeah. You know why? Because we've been getting to this point and the pressure is building. His back's against the wall. He's going to North Carolina 4 times between now and the election. He's concerned about losing North Carolina. You know, he's freaking out. I think they're freaking out. And the more they freak out, the closer we get to this election, I don't think this will be the worst. I think there's going to be more of this kind of talk. 855-752-4842. Who wants our government to grind to a halt, Uncle Tony asked? Our enemies like Putin, Kim Jong-un, you know, the ones interfering in our elections against the Dems. Yeah, certainly. The Americans at each other's throats is exactly what our adversaries want.
Absolutely, right? And again, as going back to the point we were making before, it is a destruction of government. You're bringing it down. You're taking the structures that are in place that have worked for a long period of time, and you're saying we need to replace them with something different or nothing at all, and we'll be just fine. And that is a perspective that's, again, contrary to history. People don't understand where we've been in this nation. And it's also just hugely, hugely destructive.
But there's a lot of that, man. You know, I mean, how many people, you know, I mean, we do this, man, basically every day, 5 days a week. You know, we read, we're always on top. Not everyone's doing that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, people are they're getting up, going to work. They're trying to take care of themselves, take care of their kids, take care of their older parents. I mean, everyone's got things going on, and we don't have 100% voter participation in this country. If we did, I don't think we'd be in the situation that we are in right now. So it takes a big effort, Jim. And I'm not clear a lot of folks know the history or even care to know.
Right.
They just feel the angst and sometimes justified or not, man. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I totally understand that. But to say that you're going to blow up the entire governmental system because of your personal angst without even understanding the ramifications of what you are proposing, without even knowing the history that you claim to be against, I think that's a problem in this country.
Absolutely. And again, to your good point, we understand people are living their lives, they're raising children, going to work, yeah, and doing all those very important things. That is America, too. I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, and it's not uncommon, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't do politics.
I don't do that.
Right, I don't do that kind of stuff that you're talking about. And I understand what she was saying, which is I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns on the New York Times. I get that. But to the extent that she's saying I don't do politics with a capital, with a small p, which is basically the politics of government, that's reckless, and that's the scary portion of this. You need to do enough, especially in this election. You do not have candidates who are kind of close around the issues. Every so often, locally or even in state systems, you get candidates. Yeah, they're different parties, but they're not that far on the issues. This does not take a lot of work to find out that you've got two diametrically opposed candidates here. This is maybe an hour or so of looking at some websites and looking at some materials. I get these flyers all the time from both sides in my home, and you can tell from even the flyers who is what and what is what they're advocating for.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you.
Yes.
So it's you know, self-governance is a bitch, and it takes time and it takes effort. If you want to do it right, you got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it. And certainly the issues are important as well. But if you look at, as you mentioned, Jim, a few websites, look around, look at the coalition that Harris has put around her. From Bernie Sanders to former Vice President Dick Cheney, Darth Vader himself. that runs the gambit,
right,
man.
Right.
And on the other side, you have Donald Trump, who's out there, you know, and his surrogates making fun of Latinos, making fun of Puerto Rico, you know, just being the racist, misogynist type of folks, and literally threatening a former Republican who voted for him, I'm thinking twice, in Liz Cheney. Right. Yeah, so this is a Trump supporter initially. And what makes you think if Donald Trump would go after Liz Cheney, the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, some of the most conservative Republicans in the country, that if he turns on her, that he won't turn on you?
Absolutely. Again, that's also the story, of course, of an awful lot of White House staffers, right, who found themselves not only spending a lot of time with lawyers, not because they've done something wrong, just because of their proximity to Donald Trump, but also just doing those kinds of things that they're supposed to do and getting in trouble by virtue of being affiliated with this man. That's also the kind of thing you can pull up fairly easily in the recent annals of Trumpian history in America.
Oh, you mean all those former coffee boys?
Yes, there you go.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That is James Santel. Jess P.S. is on the board. You're next, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays, 9 in the morning to 11. He's joining me, Jess P.S. on the board. You are on the phones and the text line. Hell, I see the YouTubers are also jumping in here. Steve, keep in mind, there are civil service employees that are also military members as well. On guard and reserve bases, I was one of them for 10 years. Well, thank you for your service, Steve, and a great point. Absolutely. Spunky John says there's no electoral path to victory for Trump without North Carolina. Yeah, if he's worried about that, it could be bad. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Thank you, Spunky. What else we got here? Steve from Milwaukee. Trump is a clear and present danger. It's so frustrating. The DOJ didn't do anything about it after January 6th, and the SCOTUS has totally abdicated their responsibility not to be partisan and with the Constitution. Trump is an embarrassment and a traitor. Should have been disqualified long ago. In America, if you're a felon, you're not allowed to vote or be in the military, but you can run for president. WTF. Steve, WTF for sure. Linda from Milwaukee. Trump says Liz Cheney kills people? We keep forgetting how many people he, quote unquote, killed during COVID. Yeah, that blown response. I mean, if he would have actually led, if he would have put the mask on. Hey, do this like me. I mean, all those people did that. That would have saved some folks.
And relied upon the scientists instead of having Deborah Birx sit there and horrified as he talks about light and ivermectin and those kinds of things.
And can you do a little something with bleach?
Yeah, yes, precisely, as all the people around him are just cringing. Go out there and say at that time, I know this is history, but go out there and say, you know what? We are doing the very best we can. We don't have a vaccine yet. In the meantime, this is what I need you to do to save your life.
Yeah. And help everybody. I'll help your neighbors.
Everybody, the community out there, that sends a great message. And it's more than just a time in history when he defaulted. It's indicative of who he is, right? That's not leadership, right? You don't have to have all the answers all the time, but you got to show that indeed you are wrestling with things and you're concerned about people. That period in our nation's history, again, maybe not bandied about a lot during this present campaign, not just because we lost 1.1 million people and many others continue to suffer in the wake of that, but just because of the way in which our government handled that. Joe Biden comes in, has to, in many ways, try to clean that up, both economically and certainly health-wise. That's leadership. Donald Trump plainly showing just the opposite.
855-752-4842. Let's get to the actual phones. Mike from Muscadet, you are up. Happy Friday, Mike. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I say happy post-Halloween, my man.
Yeah.
James and Dom. I just got a kind of a scary question here. You might find that scary. Why don't we just go back to the paper ballots and when voting was simple? You just sign it, you drop it in, and we don't have no computer glitches, we don't have nobody stealing these boxes. Why are we making this so complicated? I will never understand why we get away with this stuff. Just go back to, going back sometimes is a good thing. That's what I'm saying.
Now, are you talking about actually the voting process versus a digital screen or actually counting those paper ballots by hand?
By hand.
So counting paper ballots by hand. I just think, and some folks have suggested doing that. It's time consuming, Mike. And frankly, I think there's more mistakes with humans than there are with the computers, man.
And that's the concern. Again, Mike, we hear you loudly and clearly that there's a simplicity. I think you're also advocating for integrity in our system, right? And so we get that completely. I think about these lawsuits involving Dominion, right? The machines comes out during the course of those pieces of litigation that the errors made by those machines are very few, if any, few and far between, and that human error is much greater. And again, we live in a time when we can take advantage of the electronics, we can take advantage of the technology to expedite things in a way that humans cannot. But to your good point, Mike, it is also a process when you go into vote. Who's surrounding those machines? It's human beings, right? And they're helping you. You've got a problem with identification for purposes of registration. Your name is somehow misspelled. It's human beings who respond to that. It's a good combination about the technology and that humanity that you can bring to it. When you're done, you take your ballot, you put it in the machine, and boy, there's a huge amount of accuracy that comes from that. And then at 8, 9, 10 o'clock, when those poll workers are doing all that, and there are tapes and all kinds of measurements to ensure that the hand counts are also consistent with that, all sorts of checks and balances, it's a good system that combines both.
And to your point, and thanks for the call, Mike, we've done recounts on these things, too. You're running through with machines, and they're very, very accurate.
They are reliable, absolutely.
Let's get Jack from the Mac, slide you in the last caller of this segment. Welcome, Jack. What do you got?
I'd like to say two things. First of all, regarding the people that say, well, I'm not political and I just usually ignore that junk and it's all, these guys are all the same anyway. It's a quote from Plato. Believe it comes from the Republic. I'm not positive. But the quote is, the price that good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men.
Yeah.
And that is conceivably the direction we are headed. If people don't wake up to what this guy really is. And regarding changing over the civil service system, there are some incredible memes that are coming down the internet. Basically, they're saying the same thing, that we are being ruled by unelected, faceless bureaucrats who make these regulations. And those people, and And Mr. Santel, I'm sure you realize that those people have no concept about what's in the law that established these different agencies like the EPA, like NOAA and stuff.
Jack, great points. Thank you for the call, folks. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.